PopDefenderRadio.blogspot.com.
You wanted a hit, but maybe we don't do hits.
Somehow this is not what God had in mind.
I mean, let us be fucking honest. This is political, and don't tell me it's not.
Tune in every Tuesday, 2 p.m.
Pop Radio.
Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101 FM, freakradio.org.
Subversive music for dangerous times.
PopDefectRadio.blogspot.com.
More stimulating rock radio.
You could think they would try out of you. You would never
Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101 FM, freakradio.org. That was MIA there with Born Free, their first single off of the latest release, coming out in July 13th, I believe, MIA. The album's called Maya. That one was called Born Free. It was actually a really good video you could check out that they put out with that. Just, you know, like, I don't know, YouTube, MIA, Born Free. You'll see it there somewhere. I think I got it on Daily Motion. You can get the uncensored version there. Coming up, we got a bunch of news from Palestine. We're going to continue on. It's been a week since the raid, Israeli raid on the Gaza flotilla. There was another ship that came in this weekend, and we're going to start with that right now. We're also going to hear about the four men that were killed at sea by the Israeli army or navy out there, I believe, yesterday or the day before. And we're going to hear those two stories brought to us by Al Jazeera English, aljazeera.net/English, if you want to check it out. Read the stories as well. So we're going to start off with the Rachel Corrie that was boarded over the weekend and went without incident. Let's hear the original story from Al Jazeera. We'll hear more news and music as well. Got some low key playing behind us right now, instrumental to Free Palestine. We'll also maybe play some of the band or some of the artists that are not playing in Israel, like Elvis Costello, Gorillaz, Pixies, maybe some Gil Scott-Heron, if I can find it, who are refusing to play Israel over the flotilla attack that happened a week ago. All right, let's start off here with Al Jazeera English. Israeli boards another Gaza aid boat. Stay tuned.
She's weathered a political storm, but she's made it safely to harbour. The merchant vessel Rachel Corrie heads into the port of Ashdod, escorted by the Israeli Navy. This was not her destination. She wanted to deliver cement to Gaza, but the Israelis had other ideas. An Israeli army video captures the moment when commandos take over the Rachel Corrie. Familiar images of confrontation on the high seas, but this time the soldiers met no resistance. They boarded the ship after the crew ignored repeated radio messages to change course and head for the port of Ashdod. The Rachel Corrie is the last ship in a flotilla which was bound for Gaza but ended in tragedy. Mechanical problems had delayed her departure, but she was determined to make the journey, even though that would mean defying the Israeli Navy. The Israelis had offered the activists a deal. Come to port quietly and we will let you deliver your aid, then return home aboard the Rachel Corrie. An offer the ship declined.
The passengers on board right now are under the auspices of the Israeli Defense Forces. They'll arrive here at the Ashdod port, and as they've arrived in Israel, they'll be taken by the immigration authority and they'll be taken care of in accordance with Israeli law.
And so the ship docks. Israeli police are waiting for the passengers, who can expect to be deported promptly. As for the cargo, the Israelis will unload it and inspect it, then decide what will be allowed into Gaza.
The sea blockade, we have a situation where if there is an international regime of inspection, we could go out to the boats, we could make sure the Israelis know what's on these ships, it could be sealed and certificated in a proper way and taken into Gaza. And by the way, we want to see exports coming out of Gaza because it's already 80% aid dependent, as I said. What we don't want is to make it more aid dependent.
What we've seen over the past 24 hours has been a desperate effort by Israel to secure some good publicity after the public relations disaster of last Monday. And there's also the hope that something good may come from that tragedy if Israel is in fact forced to rethink and ease its blockade of the Gaza Strip. Jackie Rowland, Al Jazeera, in the Israeli port of Ashdod.
Well, overnight, Israel launched another attack at sea. This time, the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade was the target. Four of its members were killed off the coast of Gaza by the Israeli military. Nicole Johnson reports.
A significant attack against the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade in Gaza, the military wing of Fatah. Four of its members are dead. They were killed in the early hours of Monday morning in the sea off Gaza, shot in the chest and head by commandos from the Israeli Navy. There has not been an attack like this against the group for over a year. One Palestinian was captured by the Israelis. Two of the Al-Aqsa fighters managed to escape, including this senior member of the group.
We usually have training by the beach. We had two groups, one on the beach and one in the sea. Israeli commanders suddenly came and opened fire for 20 minutes. Four were killed. It's our right to do training on the beach and the sea.
One of the bodies is now being lifted out of the mosque and hundreds of people are here for the funeral. And they say that this attack inside Gaza's waters and the deaths on board the flotilla show that no one is safe from the Israeli Navy.
This is a continuation of the Israeli massacre. I believe these massacres should make all the Palestinian groups retaliate.
Israel says the men were wearing wetsuits and planning to attack their navy ship.
This morning's incident, in which five terrorists tried to infiltrate Israel through the sea, is yet another proof of what is happening in the Gaza Strip under the terror rule of Hamas. It has become a platform for attacks on Israel. Hamas has been very open about this.
This latest incident, keeping the international focus on Gaza, its people, and the siege. The kind of attention Israel is keen to avoid. Nicole Johnston, Al Jazeera, Gaza.
What exactly happened during the raid remains a subject of controversy, but now the ship's captain has spoken exclusively to Al Jazeera to give his side of the story.
When they first came down on the top deck, the passengers formed a human shield. Without any warning, the soldiers were shooting as they came down on the ropes. The passengers weren't warned at all. I was on the bridge and I saw them very clearly firing gunshots. They came down also throwing gas bombs. Only after the soldiers started attacking the passengers did they take away the soldiers' guns. The passengers on the boat in no way attacked the soldiers. They defended themselves, and that's natural.
We've seen sticks, bars. I mean, they released pictures of sticks, bars, knives. Were these in any way prepared beforehand for the eventuality of conflict, or were they just picked up as and when Israel came down?
The things Israel showed as weapons on the ship are actually very funny for people who know something about ships. What they showed as weapons were axes. We had 8 fire emergency stations on the ships. All of these axes and tools were collected on the ship. We also have a lot of tools in the engine room. There are a lot of screwdrivers and hammers that were collected. And we have 5 cafeterias that can feed all 600 people on board. We have 2 other separate kitchens for the crew. All the knives in all 7 cafeterias were collected. All of them were displayed as weapons. The chains we used on the ship were all collected as well. Some of those were taken for self-defense by some of our friends at that moment. It happened at that moment when they were trying to defend themselves. It's not something that was planned beforehand. When they first saw the boats, out of panic, they started collecting things. But all of these knives and axes, they were all collected after the Israelis came on board. There's accusations that these were all prepared in order to attack, but this is definitely a lie.
Just to be absolutely certain, there were no weapons whatsoever beforehand, once this was the ship checked completely for any weapons whatsoever.
İstanbul'dan ve Antalya'dan çıkarken,
while we were departing from Istanbul and Antalya, we specially requested special X-ray machines for customs clearance from police forces. We asked for this in order to avoid provocation. It was to prevent weapons or any sort of substance getting onto the boat. All of our passengers who were boarding from the Antalya port went through the X-ray machine and police control. After they went through the X-ray, there was another security check on the boat. Even the passengers that were transferred from the other ship, the Challenger 2, weren't allowed on without having their luggage searched. I was the one who especially gave this order. There were no weapons that were prepared outside the boat whatsoever. There was nothing that could be used as a weapon. For defense purposes, there is one thing, and that's the bulletproof vests that Israel put on show. The bulletproof vests were to be used when entering Gaza, but besides that, they were also intended to be used for doctors and journalists in case of an attack. There were also some gas masks, because Israel has used gas before. Besides that, we didn't have any other things in preparation for an attack. We didn't prepare because we never expected such an inhumane attack.
This is for Palestine, Ramallah, West Bank, Gaza. This is for the child that is searching for an answer. Wish I could take your tears and replace them with laughter. Long live Palestine, long live Gaza. Palestine, Ramallah, West Bank, Gaza. This is for the child that is searching for an answer. Wish I could take your tears and replace them with laughter. Long live Palestine. While we listen to tunes made by ignorant fools, Israel blocked the UN from delivering food. They bring in the troops and you won't even glimpse of the news. They make money off the products that we're quick to consume. And it's not simply a question of differing views. Forget emotions, this is facts, what I spit is the truth. Makes no difference if you're a Christian or if you're a Jew. They're just people living in different conditions to you. They still die when you bomb their schools, mosques and hospitals. It's not because of rockets, please God, can you stop this all? I'm not related to the strangers on the TV, but I relate, cause those strangers could have been me. Words could never ever explain the raw tragedy. It's not a war, they're just murdering more rapidly, and we are automatically supporting pure savagery. Imagine how you feel if this was your family. Palestine remains in my heart forever. We stand for peace, times of war, we shan't surrender. Remember, it didn't start in this dark December. Every coin is a bullet if you're Marks and Spencer. And when you're sipping Coca-Cola, that's another pistol in the holster of them soulless soldiers. You say you know about the Zionist lobby, but you put money in their pocket when you're buying their coffee. Talking about revolution sitting in Starbucks. The fact is, that's the type of thinking I can't trust, let alone even start to respect. Before you talk, learn the meaning of that scarf on your neck. Forget Nestle, Obama promised Israel 30 billion over the next decade. They're trigger happy and they're crazy. Think about that when you're putting Huggies nappies on your baby. Just a war over stolen land. Why do you think little boys are throwing stones at tanks? And we'll never really know how many people are dead. They drop bombs on innocent girls while they sleep in their bed. Don't get offended by facts, just try and listen. Nothing is more anti-Semitic than Zionism. So please don't bring bad vibes when you speak to me. There's plenty of rabbis that agree with me. It's your choice what you do with this message. Don't get it confused, I view this from a human perspective. How many more resolutions have to be violated? How many more children have to be annihilated? Israel is a terror state, they're terrorists that terrorize. I testify, my television televised, I'm telling lies. This is not a war, it is systematic genocide, but whatever they try, Palestine will never die. Palestine, Ramallah, West Bank, Gaza. This is for the child that is searching for an answer. Wish I could take your tears and replace them with laughter. Long live Palestine, long live Gaza. Palestine, Ramallah, West Bank, Gaza. This is for the child that is searching for an answer. Wish I could take your tears and replace them with laughter. Long live Palestine, long live Gaza.
Well, Israel is said to be considering now ways to ease the blockade on Gaza after the French and British foreign ministers proposed a European Union plan which is aimed at lifting the restrictions. Our correspondent Jackie Rowland sent us this from Jerusalem.
What we're seeing now is various efforts from the UN and other international players to actually try to seize a window of opportunity. There is a feeling that the tragic events of a week ago, the loss of life and the way in which that particular flotilla, the effort to deliver aid, reached a violent end, that there could be possibly something positive to come out of this. Certainly the UN and the EU and other parties have been suggesting that maybe there could be new mechanisms put into place in the waters of the Mediterranean, whereby ships from, whether they be European ships or American ships, could actually be involved in inspecting cargoes of aid at sea, thereby removing the need for all the aid to be delivered by land through Israel. Now, the Israelis are not at all enthusiastic about this idea. While they are talking about looking at ways to let more aid and a wider variety of aid get into Gaza, they very much want those supplies, those materials, still to be delivered into Israeli ports, inspected by Israelis, and really for the whole delivery of that aid to be controlled by Israel. So not much appetite in Israel at all for the idea of opening up sea corridors, largely because they're afraid that this could be exploited by people who would want to deliver arms to Hamas in Gaza.
But what the blockade's also done is increase another business, the smuggling business. See, beneath Gaza's borders is this complex network of smuggling tunnels which bring in much-needed supplies. But at the end of last year, Egypt started building a massive underground metal wall to stop the smuggling. What's it done to this subterranean economy? Nicole Johnston has more from Rafah in Gaza.
It was built as the barrier to stop the smuggling trade. A thick metal wall between Egypt and Gaza, buried to a depth of 30 metres, hammered into the ground. It was designed to cut off the tunnels that supply people in Gaza with food and other essentials, and some suspect Hamas with money and weapons. But it's failing. The tunnels are still operating. This tunnel is around 20 metres underground. The opening is well fortified with bricks and timber. But to reach the metal barrier is a long crawl. It's never more than 1.5 metres high, and at times the electricity that lights up the tunnel cuts out.
We've crawled about 450 metres through the tunnels to get to this point. Now, this is where Egypt placed the metal barrier to stop smuggling goods into Gaza. But obviously it hasn't worked. There's a great big gaping hole. The metal's been cut out. The tunnel keeps running into Egypt, and that's why the smuggling trade into Gaza is still running.
Smugglers say Egypt packed the metal wall with sand, which makes this section of the tunnel weak and vulnerable to collapse. We were given this video, recorded on a mobile phone, by one of the men who cut through the metal wall in the tunnel we visited. He used a gas and oxygen torch and says it took 5 people 3 days to do it. Defying efforts to stop them, smugglers have cut through the steel barrier in about 400 tunnels. At their peak, there were 1,200 tunnels operating. Our tunnel guides are paid $30 a night to work here. It's a dangerous job, with regular Israeli airstrikes against those underground. Instead of crawling back, we sit in a plastic carriage and are pulled through the tunnel. It's an efficient operation. Up to a ton of goods can be whisked through here on each load.
It took us around 30 minutes to crawl all the way through the tunnel to the metal Egyptian wall, but only 7 minutes to get back on this plastic contraption called a train. Now, usually, of course, this is full of supplies for the people of Gaza.
Ready?
Okay.
A journey deep inside a smuggling tunnel. A tunnel the people of Gaza won't and can't give up, even when it's blocked by a thick steel wall.
Tune Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101 FM, freakradio.org, Pop Defect Radio, doing Israeli coverage right now. It's been a week since the flotilla was attacked by Israeli Navy, killing 9 people.
injuring several others, and we're doing some Al Jazeera reports on it. Got over the last couple days. We got one about Egypt. Still has the Rafah crossing into Gaza. Still is open. We're going to hear that story right now from Al Jazeera English. Stay tuned.
Let's get more now on our top story with the situation in Gaza. The Rafah crossing between the Strip and Egypt will stay open indefinitely. The plight of the Palestinians is on the agenda for the Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak and US Vice President Joe Biden, who's in Sharm el-Sheikh for talks. Egypt has been accused of colluding with Israel in maintaining the blockade of Gaza. Roa Rage has more.
Early morning in the Egyptian capital, Cairo. Parliament members belonging to the banned Muslim Brotherhood group embarking on a journey to Gaza. Awaiting them in Sinai, an aid convoy they're taking to the besieged strip through the Rafah crossing point.
Egypt is a key player in this region and its beating heart. It has the responsibility of an elder sister. The Rafah crossing should have always remained open to alleviate the blockade imposed on our brothers in Gaza.
Just one day after Israel's deadly May 31st raid on the Gaza-bound Freedom Fratella, Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak ordered the opening of the Rafah crossing point for an indefinite period. Hundreds of people with previous security arrangements nonetheless flocked from both sides of the crossing, Gaza's only gateway to the world that bypasses Israel. Egypt opens the crossing on a weekly basis for medical cases and offers a timed opportunity every few months for Palestinians with foreign residencies to cross in and out. But the country has been subject to heavy criticism for effectively taking part in Israel's blockade ever since Hamas violently seized Gaza in 2007. It's an accusation the government and its supporters staunchly deny.
There's no such thing as the full opening of the crossing. It should be subject to legal measures. The crossing is governed by a protocol between Israel, the Palestinian Authority, and European observers. With the absence of all three since Hamas's takeover of Gaza, there's been a legal problem when it comes to operating.
A chasm that keeps on widening between Cairo's policies and the views of the people. In multiple protests following the attack on the Freedom Flotilla, activists called those in the government cowards and traitors. Opposition MPs also chimed in.
The closure of this crossing is one of the fundamental reasons behind the disaster that happened to the Freedom Flotilla, because of the way the Egyptian government regulates passage of people and aid.
The Muslim Brotherhood MPs are hopeful President Mubarak's recent concession could mean they can take in construction material this time, an item previously not allowed to go through Rafah.
Though for now Egypt is defying Israel's siege on Gaza, a full permanent opening of the crossing is highly unlikely. Several national security considerations are at stake, including fears that Israel could forfeit responsibility of the besieged strip to Egypt, in addition to Cairo's classic paranoia towards Islamist movements, namely Hamas, which grew out of the regime's main rival, the Muslim Brotherhood. Rawia Raga, Al Jazeera, Cairo.
As we stand on the shoulders of mountains, meditating on the makers of everything counted, and can't move, what is this freedom that's founded? Nature is lost and families drowned by thousands. Cash rules, little fish in shallow men's mind make big splashes, while thoughts like oceanic whales cross eyelids. Little men lie and they lost the god science. Decapitate others so they can look like giants. Surprise, a divine art form, beats and rhyming, and gods like Krishna's flutes tuned to remind us, heal blindness. Let the works be born and give season what is seasons. Think back what's yours, and that's water and fire and earth, air with price tags, water and fire and earth. They didn't make that water and fire and earth. They don't control that water and fire and earth. We let them hold that, our birthright's first. They can't control that, water is birthright first. They cannot own that, air is birthright first. They can't control that, freedom of space. I want freedom of space. We'll be right back. In the beginning was the Om. Sing along, I and I. Let there be fire, let there be light, let there be earth and life within waters. Why I gotta turn around and pay you for it? I can't ignore it, cause we slung by traps. Pretty soon they'll be charging us a sunrise tax. Black air gets thicker and thicker from raw greed. We don't need weed and liquor, now we just breathe. And the oil is earth's blood, so you own that as thieves. While the rulers and the rich celebrate, we all bleed. Pierce through the shadows of invisible schemes, and we want our tomorrows right now by all means. Over
water and fire and earth, air with price tags. Water and fire and earth, they didn't own that. Water and fire and earth, they don't control that. Water and fire and earth, how could they hold that? Water and fire and earth, air with price tags. Water and fire and earth, how did they own that? Water and fire and earth, they didn't make that. Yo, get your birthright back, come on.
Freedom of space, freedom of space, why can't I be free? Freedom of space, not speech, give me my freedom of space, why can't I be free? And you ain't mad yet, they use your money for wars. And you ain't mad yet, people getting more poor. And you ain't mad yet, it's best you get pissed off. I'm warning you now, it's about to jump off. And you ain't mad yet, they use your money for wars. And you ain't mad yet, people getting more poor. And you ain't mad yet, it's best you get pissed off. I'm warning you now, it's about to jump off. All over water and fire and earth, air with price tags. Water and fire and earth, they didn't make that. Water and fire and earth, we let them hold that. F***ing with our birthrights, give me my soul back.
I was watching this documentary that I got from overseas that showed this bombed out rubble with a little boy running through it and being chased by this soldier with a big AK-47. The kid was running and running, and after a while he just got fed up with it. He turned around, he picked up a rock, and you could almost hear the kid say, "Allahu Akbar," which means God is great. And the soldier froze and pointed his gun at the kid's chest, but he couldn't shoot. And he turned around and he started to run. And here was this little 9-year-old boy with a rock in his hand chasing a soldier with a gun, chasing him from the way they had come. And it brought tears to my eyes because that's the courage we need. We need to learn from these things. But I'm saying that that shit is deep. People are willing to spill their own blood so that their future generations can live without oppression.
Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101 FM, freakradio.org. We're going to hear right now from about the Turkish survivors recount their terror on the attack that happened on the flotilla a week ago from Al Jazeera English. Stay tuned, Freak Radio.
The last passengers from the Mavi Marmara arrive at hospital in Turkey. Two men, up till now too badly injured to fly out of Israel, their lives still hanging in the balance. Inside, as medical staff treat their injuries, Al Jazeera is the first TV network to speak at length with the wounded.
Of the 24 injured brought to Ankara's Atatürk Hospital, five remain in a critical condition. Among those we spoke to, there's incredulity that the Israeli soldiers could have reacted as violently as they did.
Muharrem Güneş says he was trying to shield a wounded cameraman when he too was shot in the head. Miraculously, the bullet missed the major artery when it passed out of his neck.
From close range, they determined with their laser pointers that I had not been shot. My left cheek was turned toward them, so they shot me in the face. I've lost six teeth on one side.
Mustafa Batuman has severe internal damage after he was cornered by commandos on the top deck, he told us.
The people who shot me were two Israeli soldiers, standing about 1 meter from me. From 1 meter away, they fired at me as if shooting a chicken.
Sadruddin Furkan was another volunteer, up with the captain when soldiers from the helicopter came to take over the bridge. They shot him three times in one leg and again on the other foot.
They were shooting in all directions. I felt a deep pain in my leg. It began bleeding. They shot me from behind.
His wife, Dilar, had 2 days not knowing if he was alive or dead, then heard he was in an Israeli hospital.
It felt absurd that they would shoot him, then treat him. Why are you shooting people if you're going to have to treat them afterwards?
From the neighboring bed, Suat Koshmaz recounted how he tried to keep the Israeli soldiers from boarding the ship.
Sure, we were protecting ourselves with fire hoses. We were trying to spray pressurized water at the Zodiacs. That's when they shot me.
The commandos who shot him, he told us, fired from a deck 2 stories above.
Would you go again?
Yeah, of course. Of course. We don't afraid to die.
If the Israeli government hoped their operation on the Mavi Marmara would be a deterrent, it seems to have had the opposite effect.
If another expedition happened, I would let him go. In fact, I want to go together with my husband.
And from Ismail Yeshildar, shot in the back, a challenge to other governments in the region.
I want to give a message to the Arab leaders. Stop acting against the wishes and thoughts of the Arab people and start acting the way your people want.
Greetings to Hamas, on with the resistance, is this man's parting shot. Many of the injured are deeply religious. These events have not only radicalized them further, but put most of Turkey behind them. Anita McNaught, Al Jazeera, Ankara.
And sticking with Turkey, we're going to hear right now about Turkey-Israel relations. Al Jazeera English. Stay tuned, Freak Radio, 101 FM, freakradio.org.
The raid on the Mavi Marmara has shattered relations between allies Turkey and Israel. Of the 9 activists killed, 8 were Turks and the other had dual Turkish-US citizenship. At a regional security summit in Istanbul, the Turkish Prime Minister and the Syrian President were united in their condemnation of Israel.
It was a peace journey to Gaza, but there are people who claim otherwise, and this is infuriating. These are mad allegations that some people claim they were hate flotillas. If we talk about hate, that was the hatred displayed by the Israeli government. If we mention any terror in the region, that is only the state terror applied by the Israeli government.
What is new about this crime is that for the first time, Israel will not be able to accuse the innocents. Israel has always been killing innocents. However, for the first time, Israel was not able to accuse them of being terrorists. Israel tried to claim that they were terrorists. However, we know that the organizers of the flotilla and of all this action prevented anyone from carrying even a knife.
And in a further sign of how strained relations are between Israel and Turkey, Israel has cancelled a second shipment of aerial drones to Turkey, part of a $180 million contract. Turkey has already recalled its envoy to Israel and cancelled joint military exercises. Well, public anger over the raid has seen tens of thousands of people protest all over the world. The biggest demonstrations, though, have been in Turkey, where a human rights group says it plans to sue senior Israeli officials. Anita McNaught reports.
At another highly charged rally in the Turkish capital, survivors of the Mavi Marmara boarding tell their stories. This man's family was informed he was one of the activists killed by Israeli commandos. They mourned him for 2 days, then he walked off the plane alive.
Allah düşmanları, şerefsizler, işte göğsüm açım.
They failed to take my life when they had the chance, he said. Now he's fighting for justice. The fight for justice is unfolding at all levels in Turkey now. Newspaper coverage is ceaseless. Ahmet Faruk Unsal is chairman of Mazlum Der, a Turkish human rights association. His group has filed a criminal complaint against senior figures in the Israeli government.
These seven people should be separated from the Israeli government. They should be tried as killers and thieves.
Named in the criminal complaint, Israeli President Shimon Peres, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, Defense Minister Ehud Barak, Foreign Minister Avigdor Lieberman, and the heads of the Israeli military and navy. It charges them with homicide, conspiracy to murder, assault, hostage-taking, torture, destruction of property, piracy, and imposing an information blackout. This could mean an end to visits like this one in January by the Israeli Defense Minister, although the Turkish courts cannot use extradition procedures against Israel.
If they arrive to Turkish territories, we have a right to catch them, put into prison and bring those seven people to in front of a trial. But if they do not come to Turkey, of course we do not have any enforcement.
Israel's already advised its military personnel not to visit Turkey for the foreseeable future. In the meantime, witness statements are being gathered from the injured in hospital, from eyewitnesses, and from the autopsy reports on the nine people killed by Israeli commandos. Investigating prosecutors from both Istanbul and Ankara will take the evidence they've collected and the case they want tried to hear the High Court in Ankara. Only then will the state prosecutor, that's the Turkish equivalent of the Attorney General, take the decision on whether to actually go forward with the trial. Turkish activists are hoping that after all the strong words from the Prime Minister and the President, the Turkish government has the political will to actually take this step. Still, the rallying cry goes on for an international independent investigation, an apology from Israel, compensation, and an end to the Gaza blockade. Anita McNaught, Al Jazeera, Ankara.
Another group of activists deported from Israel through Jordan's King Hussein Bridge on the border with the occupied Palestinian territories, including Surya Fahrizal, the last Mavi Marmara passenger, a 28-year-old Indonesian journalist who underwent surgery in Israel after he was struck by a bullet during the deadly raid on the ship. The others were activists and MPs who were on board the Rachel Corrie aid ship seized by the Israeli military on Saturday while trying to break the blockade of Gaza. They said the Israeli army pointed guns at their faces.
You don't point guns at unarmed civilians, because when you point guns at an unarmed civilian, you can make a mistake. All right? On their part, they may fear us. An accident could happen. All right? If you know that, we give you a letter to come on board. We wave our hands to you. What are you pointing a gun?
All of the passengers are citizens of countries that have no diplomatic ties with Israel. Jordan is their only gateway back to their respective countries. They spoke of their disappointment in failing to reach Gaza.
Obviously, the world knows now that we cannot send the aid to Gaza. We fail in that mission. But as for now, we want the whole world, the citizen of the world, community of the world, to stand up and speak up, stop the embargo, you know, stop the siege, and let the people of Gaza live like human beings, like any other people in the whole world.
As we have said, we are very peaceful. We sat down, wait in the middle of the ship, and they boarded it. And when they boarded it, they just move around. They were wearing the baklava and all the stuff. They were armed to the teeth, I would say. And yeah, so we sat down, we kept quiet. They went, they searched the ship and whatnot. Then they commanded the ship all the way to Ashdod.
Now, whether legal action will be taken against Israel is unknown from speaking to ambassadors from the countries whose citizens arrived through the King Hussein Bridge. They may have not managed to deliver the 1,000 tons of humanitarian aid they were carrying to Gaza, but they believe their actions have finally succeeded in raising awareness about the precarious and forgotten conditions Gazans are living under. And they are still determined to make further attempts to break the blockade despite their failure this time around. نسرين الشمايلة الجزيرة كينغ حسين بريدج The Jordan Valley.
Spend the night away from home, and his mother held his photograph up in the New York Times. You see, the killing has intensified along the road to peace. He was a tall, thin boy with a wispy mustache, disguised as an Orthodox Jew, on a crowded bus in Jerusalem. Some had survived World War II. And the thunderous explosion blew out windows 200 yards away, with more retribution than 17 dead along the King George L. and Jaffa Road. Passengers boarded bus 14A in the aisle next to the driver, Abdel Mahdi Chaney. And the last thing that he said on earth is, God is great and God is good. And he blew them all to kingdom upon the road to peace. Now in response to this, another kiss of death was visited upon Yashir Tihai. Israel says is an Hamas senior militant, and Israel sent four choppers in, flames engulfed his white opal, and it killed his wife and his three-year-old child, leaving only blackened skeletons. They found his toddler's bottle and a pair of small shoes, and they waved them in front of the cameras. But Israel says they did not know that his wife and child were in the car. There are roadblocks everywhere, and only suffering on TV. Neither side will ever give up their smallest right along the road to peace. Israel launched his latest campaign against Hamas on Tuesday, and 2 days later Hamas shot back and killed five Israeli soldiers. So thousands dead and wounded on both sides, most have been Middle Eastern civilians. They fill their children full of hate to fight an old man's war and die upon the road to peace. Now this is our land, we will fight with all our force, say the Palestinians and the Jews. Each side will cut off the hand of anyone who tries to stop the resistance. If the right eye offends thee, then you must pluck it out. Then Mahmoud Abbas and Sharon have been lost out along the road to peace. Once Kissinger said, we have no friends, America only has interests. Now our president wants to be seen as a hero, and he's hungry for re-election. But Bush
reluctant to risk his future in the fear of his political failure. So he plays chess at his desk and poses for the press 10,000 miles from the road to peace. In the video that they found at the home of Abdel Mahdi Shabne, he held a Kalashnikov rifle and he spoke with a voice like a boy. He was an excellent student, he studied so hard, it was as if he had a future. He told his mother that he had a test that day out along the road to peace. The fundamentalists killing on both sides and standing in the path of peace. But tell me, why are we arming the Israeli army with guns and tanks and bullets? And if God is great and God is good, why can't he change the hearts of men? Or maybe God himself is lost and needs help. Maybe God himself, he needs all of our help. Maybe God himself is lost and needs help. He's out upon the road to peace. Maybe God himself is lost and needs help. Maybe God himself, he needs all of our help. And he's lost upon the road to peace. And he's lost upon the road.
Welcome to Palestine Today, a service of the International Middle East Media Center, www.immc.org, for Tuesday, June 8, 2010. French group files lawsuits against Israel over the flotilla attack, and Egypt prevents 9 parliamentarians from entering the besieged coastal region. These stories and more are coming up. Stay tuned. French lawyer Lillian Glock has filed 2 lawsuits against the State of Israel on grounds of kidnapping and detention without reason. Glock, who works on behalf of the Committee of Charity and Relief for Palestinians, a French charity, has filed 1 suit in Marseille and another in Ivory, the Palestine Telegraph reports. The 6 people who run the charity were aboard last week's Freedom Flotilla and are bringing the suit due to Israel's use of violence and force in hijacking the flotilla and the subsequent abduction from international waters to Israel. The Egyptian authorities stopped 9 Egyptian legislators at the Rafah terminal who were trying to deliver construction supplies to Gaza. In Sinai, Egyptian authorities confiscated 4 trucks filled with cement and construction materials heading to Gaza. Hazem Farouk, head of the Egyptian delegation, said that the authorities seized the trucks that were filled with cement and construction materials and revoked the license cards of the drivers after threatening to arrest them when they were 20 kilometers away from the Gaza Strip. The Egyptian authorities then said that the trucks will not be allowed into Gaza, although the Egyptian president ordered the opening of the Rafah terminal until further notice. At least 4,200 passengers have went through the terminal in both directions in the past few days. Meanwhile, a report published by the Legal Center for Freedom of Movement, GISHA, indicates that the Gaza Strip needs 4 million tons of concrete, 650,000 tons of iron, and 387 million feet of electrical cables for renovation. Since 2007, Israel has allowed only 10% of the regular amounts and types of goods and materials to enter the Gaza Strip. The report also says that Israel allows some Israeli products to enter the coastal region and prevents basic materials that would allow the Gaza residents to produce the same products, which leaves many of Gaza factories closed while Israel's economy benefits from the siege. In the meantime, Israeli troops kidnapped at least 15 Palestinians from different parts of the West Bank. The Palestine news agency Wafa reported that Israeli soldiers kidnapped civilians from Bethlehem, Hebron, Nablus, and Ramallah. Israeli soldiers also detained another on the checkpoint between Bethlehem and Jerusalem. Mohammed Talahma was taken from the ambulance as he was accompanying his ill mother to the hospital. Reasons for his detention remain unknown. Thank you for joining us from Occupied Bethlehem. You've been listening to Palestine Today from the International Middle East Media Center. For constant updates, please visit our website at www.imemc.org. This report has been brought to you by George Shmawi.
Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101 FM, freakradio.org, Pop Defect Radio, doing Palestine coverage.
This is for Palestine, Ramallah, West Bank, Gaza. This is for the child that is searching for an answer. Wish I could take your tears and replace them with laughter. Long live Palestine, long live Gaza. Palestine, Ramallah, West Bank, Gaza. This is for the child that is searching for an answer. Wish I could take your tears and replace them with laughter. Long live Palestine.
While we listen to tunes made by ignorant fools, Israel blocked the UN from delivering food. They bring in the troops and you won't even glimpse of the news. They make money off the products that we're quick to consume. And it's not simply a question of differing views. Forget emotions, this is facts, what I spit is the truth. Makes no difference if you're a Christian or if you're a Jew. They're just people living in different conditions to you. They still die when you bomb their schools, mosques and hospitals. It's not because of rockets, please God, can you stop this all? I'm not related to the strangers on the TV, but I relate, cause those strangers could have been me. Words could never ever explain the raw tragedy. It's not a war, they're just murdering more rapidly, and we are automatically supporting pure savagery. Imagine how you feel if this was your family. Just a war over stolen land. Why do you think little boys are throwing stones at tanks? And we'll never really know how many people are dead. They drop bombs on little girls while they sleep in their bed. It's your choice what you do with this message. Don't get confused, I view this from a human perspective. How many more resolutions have to be violated? How many more children have to be annihilated?